it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So look, a frustrating night, but I'm still, like, I'm not worried about the Mets missing the postseason. I'm annoyed that they lost a tight game to the Phillies, and we can break down why they lost that game and the annoying things about it. But I still feel very comfortable in the Mets getting to the postseason and then being dangerous once they get to the playoffs.
Okay, listen, I understand the confidence to an extent, but that's too much for me. But I'm also not going to be completely on the other side and say Mets are done, it's over. But I do think that this could go either way. I really do. Mets are not playing well. The teams that's chasing them right now, the Giants, are playing well. The math is still in their favor, but the recent snapshot, they have not... Like, it's been a while, like, where they just haven't looked crisp, whether it's the National Series where they lost a couple, whether it's the Marlins Series where they lost three. Like, the Mets have been a little iffy for a while here. But I got to tell you why I am worried in one regard, and it's not the conventional regard. I mean, obviously, the offense is not doing a whole lot now. Of course, without the young kids saving the pitching staff, I mean, the Mets would be in tatters right now. Then they would not be a playoff team. I got to tell you, I think something that's been hinted at a little bit this year, I've thrown a few lines in the water, but the more I watch this team in big spots and high-leverage situations, I'm worried about the manager. Now, let me be very clear about this. This is not getting on the air and saying fire Mendoza. I thought he did a really good job last year, and I think that he can grow into a highly above average manager, but the man makes a lot of mistakes when mistakes cannot be made. It's pretty evident, whether it's the bullpen, sticking with a guy too long, or pulling somebody out too early, or not pinch running, or pinch hitting. He's been pretty sloppy, Sal.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think last night in particular, I had a major, major, major issue with pinch hitting Luis Donaldo Cunha, where, now he did it for Cedric Mullins, who, by the way, stinks.
No, like
Cedric
he's been
Mullins,
terrible.
What, see, that to me is on David Stearns. If the Mets don't go far in the playoffs or for whatever reason don't make the playoffs, it's on Stearns and his acquisitions at the deadline. We all said at the same time, Mullins, what's he really, nothing moved. Meanwhile, Harrison Bader lighting up for the Phillies. Anyway, Mullins can't get a bunt down. They pinch hit for him later in the game, and they do so with the Luis Donaldo Cunha, who I love. I said this to Mendy's face when I went out to Citi Field and spoke to Carlos Mendoza in the locker room. Anyway, I said it to his face. Dude, what do we? And when we actually had him on that next day or whatever that week, dude, when are you going to start valuing defense instead of offense? Like, I want Acuna on this team as a weapon. So I like him for defense late and speed on the bases.
Me too.
Instead, he pinch hits him there. Well, you had Mauricio or literally pick somebody else. I don't even care who it is. Just save Luis Angel Acuna. He's not a pinch hitter. You want him in the game, especially a one-run game like that, for a pinch running spot, which he burns him as a pinch hitter. Then when a pinch runner is needed, you go with Mauricio, who might be slower than Pete Alonso, and that cost the Mets dearly. So I had an issue with that from Mendoza, but I certainly don't look at him as he's a problem in any way, shape, or form. I love the way that he's handled the bullpen. Last night, Helsley bringing him in the same exact spot that you and I got into an argument with last week. He came through. He looked good. That's the one positive from...
That's a positive. He looked good, Helsley.
It doesn't mean he's going to be great from now on, but that's a big spot on the road. One-run game in that ballpark against that team.
I'm not going to be unfair. Yeah. No, I'm not going to be unfair with that. So last night to me was very confounding. And if it was the first time that this popped up, I'd say, okay, you know, it just didn't work out. Maybe an odd strategy here. But I even go back to, I think that was August 8th here. And I remember talking about it on the air the next day because I've kind of hinted at this. It's never been like Mendoza's awful. That's an unfair, ridiculous, inaccurate take here. But I do wonder if he's enough of an asset to elevate, because there's instances to me where his decision-making's become a detriment. And it wasn't just last night, Sal. You go back to that August 8th game there when Marte, who's had leg issues, has been in and out of the order, is on second base, McNeil with a base hit up the middle, and he gets thrown out by a step out, game over. You had Tyrone Taylor was still healthy at that point, who's got a 95% sprint speed. Marte's about 22, 23. And you just, for whatever reason, didn't do it. And to me, these are layups here. And last night was the most egregious one. Because I understand that you can get caught in between looking too far ahead or the other manager has a better night. But to be of clear mind in a massive game where you're running out of time to make, I mean, they're not going to win the division, but you're not thinking that if you're Mendoza, and you send up a guy who's an elite fielder, an elite, you know, base runner, and a below average hitter, and you put him up there to do the one thing that he's not good at. That's a bad move.
Yeah, they were going based off the matchups.
I don't care about the matchups. I'm just saying,
but that's what managers do
nowadays.
Yeah, but
what if he does this in October, Sal? Well, loses you a playoff game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is he perfect? No, and I do think he's had a down year, certainly compared to year one where he was great. But the things that I truly value, holding guys accountable, no-nonsense type guy, those things Mendoza does very well. So I value that. Every manager, unfortunately, is going to go by the books and analytics and whatever. Okay, well, Mullins is not going to hit in this spot against a lefty. I'm going to pinch hit with my righty bat. I'm going to trust. But probably the splits on Mauricio weren't very good, so he felt like Acuna. Now, it was not a good move. I thought, as a matter of fact, a stupid move, not having Acuna tied to the bench in case you needed him in a one-run game if somebody got on.
He's a weapon.
You got to know when to use him. Correct. So I thought that was a terrible mistake last night. But if I go over the list of concerns about this Mets team, like Mendoza doesn't even scratch the surface. The offense, yet again, inconsistent, if not flat-out absent. That can't happen. The starting pitching, obviously, the inconsistencies with certain guys in the bullpen, the roster. Like, there, to me, before I get to Mendoza, I've got at least five or six things that are more pressing.
All right, fair enough. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, so I'm going to go back to Joe Torre was not a great manager. With all due respect to the great Joe Torre was good. And Joe Torre was able to take a collection of elite talent, and by the way, keep them motivated, kick them in the ass when they needed to. Joe was hard behind closed doors because it was a different era. But I don't think he was a great, you know, tactician or strategist like Tony La Russa or some of these other great minds of the game. He was not that, okay? And it was okay because the Yankees were so loaded that it worked. The Mets are not loaded, all right? Now, they might be loaded in 2 or 3 years. They're not loaded now. They're hoping, and so far the young pitchers look great. McClellan loved the kid, even with the blister last night battling. He's a stud. But the Mets are not fully loaded right now. This is not the Death Star ready to just destroy the National League and eventually the American League and the World Series. They're not that. So you're going to find yourself in a lot of close games. And I'm going to stand by this. And Met fans, you can attack me. You can agree. 888-808-1019. I'm sorry. I watch every Met game like you guys do. And I see a manager who makes a lot of mistakes when you shouldn't make them.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It feels like everybody's thinking the division is over at this particular point. Like, I'm not sure what the difference is now than 2 weeks ago. I mean, the Mets were unlikely. Once they lost that game to Atlanta ahead of the Philly series last time, they were unlikely to win the division there. And at this point, 18 games to go, 8 games back. Yeah, the Mets seems impossible. But we'll see what happens. What if they win 3 straight against the Phillies? Then what? Division's going to be back on?
Well, so, I'm not saying they're going to get swept here. No, I mean, I don't know what the heck's going to happen tonight. I'm just saying that the Mendy's got to be better and the hitting's got to wake up.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the feeling. And then if you take that out, which obviously you would take that out for the most part, then you look at the wild card standings. Giants won again last night, so it's just a 3-game lead now for the Mets for that final wild card spot. Padres won again as well, so the Padres have a 3-game lead on the Mets for the second spot, where the Mets were closing in on them earlier, last week, I guess it was. Jeff is in Oceanside starting us off. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've called you guys before. Big Mets fan. I don't like Mendy. Mendy was brutal last night. Brutal. And a couple of things. You guys spoke about him. Acuna has to be the pinch runner, not the pinch hitter. Mauricio has to hit where Acuna hit. That was ridiculous. You know Alvarez is anxious and a big swinger. Tell him to go up there. Hey, take a strike. Give him the take sign.
That's not on Mendy. That's on Alvarez. Is Alvarez a major leaguer or not?
No, that is on Mendy.
No, it's not.
You're the manager.
Jeff, that's not on the
manager.
It's not on the manager. It's on the big league player. Carlos Mendoza is going to tell Francisco Alvarez what to do there? No, come on. Jeff, it doesn't work like that.
Because you have to take control of the situation. You have to take control of the situation.
He's the manager. Also, he's not getting in the batter's box. That's ridiculous. I agree with you, Jeff.
You just said it. He's the manager. Don't come up. Let me talk for 1 minute. He's the manager. He has to set the tone. And also, Nimmo should have bunted. Acuna should have been pinch running. BT got it right. Mendy, I think he did a good job last year. He's taken a big step back this year. He seems like the players like him. They play hard. But he doesn't win games for you. You need a manager to win games for you here and there.
What the hell are you talking about? He doesn't win games for you. I mean, is his
first... He lost the game last night for them.
No, he didn't lose the game. Thanks for the call, Jeff. He did not lose the game last night. Jeff wants to get on Carlos Mendoza, and he's saying that he should have done something about Francisco Alvarez at bat. I mean, give me a break.
The Alvarez at bat was one of the worst. That may have been the worst at bat in the major leagues all season. I mean, it, talk about being overmatched. Now, listen, Alvarez just got back, and both hands are jacked up. The pitcher he's going against is a stud. That curveball's nasty, but you will not see three straight swings where you basically missed by a foot and a half. It was
well, you know what he was doing. You know what he's doing. He saw Duran blow away Jeff McNeil,
yep.
And he's going up there saying, give me your best fastball, and I'm going to turn this thing around.
Yeah, but you, and he's pulling the string, and he's outside soft. And
he threw times in a row.
Yeah, and I'm going to defend Mendoza there. Now, you want to tell me, hey, listen, okay, and maybe Mendoza did in his own way. Hey, listen, you know, zone in on this. Let's not be too loose and expand the zone first pitch here. But I don't think that managers, and unless you're down like four, you should know when to take a pitch and when not to. So I think what Jeff said, even though I'm with his larger point that Mendoza has been very spotty this year, very. I don't think it's fair to get on Mendoza for not saying to take the first pitch from Alvarez's at bat.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I think it's fair to criticize any manager, and in this case, Carlos Mendoza, about certain moves that he's made. You want to have concerns about him long term? I don't have to. Whatever, that's fine. That's debatable. What is not debatable is that you can't blame Carlos Mendoza or any manager for any particular player, especially one who's established in the big leagues. You want to say a rookie is in that spot? Then the argument should be, well, he shouldn't let the rookie hit in that spot. You can't blame Mendoza when Alvarez goes out there looking like he doesn't have a clue.
No, I'm not. By the way, I know I want to make sure we get to, I want to get back to these calls, but I want to make sure that we get to the play with Mauricio with the read on the double by Vientos. That's a baseball discussion that I think a lot of people are missing. I want to do it now, but I do want to get to that. I think there's a lot of nuance there. I heard Zeal's explanation, which I don't agree with. We'll get to it later.
Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, good morning, boys. Yeah, the inconsistency. September's when they got to start playing baseball. I mean, I would like to take the division, but I just want to see clear baseball. I'm hitting every night. I mean, a couple games we go 10, 11 runs we're scoring, and then we disappear for a week. I mean, it's just no consistency at the bat. Cedric Mullins, what did we get Baltimore? Bag of balls for him?
Basically.
I mean, that is not the same guy. That is not the same guy who came to Yankee Stadium a couple of years ago playing for Baltimore. No. It's a different guy out there.
He might be finished. He might be done.
It's an automatic out.
He's also trying to find himself here. And thank you for the call, Charlie. Like, it's Cedric Mullins should not be the key to the Mets' struggles here. He's not, but he hasn't helped at all. And at the trade deadline, you're trying to get guys who are going to help. So he's been a total zero. He himself would acknowledge that. We'll see what happens if he even gets more playing time moving forward. But last night, that's my bigger issue. Like, Mendoza was awful last night, specifically with the Acuña thing. But that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they can't hit. The Mets all of a sudden can't hit Aaron Nola in Philadelphia in that bandbox of a ballpark?
I don't get it, man.
Come on.
He's throwing 92-mile-per-hour fastballs. That's batting practice stuff right there. He does not throw. We know he doesn't throw hard, but that was an ugly look for the Mets last night. It really was.
You name it, up and down that lineup. Oh, the big bad core four. And by the way, Brett Beatty getting picked off of first base in a spot where Soto was working that at bat against Nola, a spot that I'm sitting there thinking, he's got him here. He's going to hit a two-run homer, hit one in the gap. I know he came back the next inning and struck out. Just a totally different circumstance. You got a runner on in that spot. Aaron Nola to Juan Soto with two outs. Thank you. I'll sign up for that anytime.
Yeah.
And Beatty gets picked off of first. That's inexcusable.
I saw your tweet. And what I didn't understand, and Keith talked about this, I think it was very astute, like Beta, more and more of these players are taking leads. So think about when you played whatever level you're 10 years old, it doesn't matter. You take your lead off first base and you're parallel to the bag. Now, when you're on second base or third, you get a deeper lead. But these guys now, for whatever, and I'm sure it's analytically driven, of course, one-tenth of a second as you get to second base when you run, they're now taking leads almost where they're going back into right field. So when he dove back into the bag, his arm had more distance to get back to the corner of the bag because he was so far behind the bag.
Yeah, that seems like common sense, right? Get further away from the bag. Like they used to teach us in Little League, the closest, quickest path back to the base. That's what you do. Shortest path back to the
base. A to B.
And now it's the opposite way. And either way, I don't care how many stolen bases the Mets have. That the first base coach, like in that spot, that's where, instead of saying Mendoza should tell Alvarez how to hit, in that spot, the first base coach's job is to tell Brett Beatty, hey, Brett, I know you know this, but get your ass glued to this.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's being
behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First base bag with that guy up. Do not move. I'm like, what good's a lead going to do? I don't want to hear it. Until
maybe he's going to steal. I mean, the Mets never get thrown out. Well, I know it's with Soto. I get that. But the Mets never get thrown out by catchers. So if that's what they do, which is what they do, based on the numbers that they have, their first base coach, I know we're getting on him for the lead, but he's been phenomenal. I mean, maybe he was getting ready to run.
Even that, to me, would be stupid baseball. So, and the Mets did that, obviously, last night. John is calling from Wantagh. What's up, John?
I cannot believe Steve Cohen and David Stearns are playing us Mets fans like absolute fools. You want me to elaborate here?
Of course.
They bring up the three guys because they know they have no shot at winning a title this year. And they say to us, well, in their minds, well, if we don't win, look, Mets fans, look what we got to look forward to next year. When have you ever seen a team in a pennant race bring up three rookies? You're going to go with rookies to try to win a championship? Why don't you just come out and say, listen, we have no shot this year. This is what we're going to do.
Why would they say that? Why?
Because BT, you know A well, if they're bringing up these three kids, they had no faith
in
this
John, hold on a sec, John. So if you're in the playoffs, you got a shot, number one. Now, I think the Mets are built to go on a multiple series run to win the World Series? I don't. I haven't thought that all year.
If they would have brought up the one guy, I would have said, okay, you know, he brought up three of them. They're trying
because
to
the other
showcase
guys stink.
Their guys.
If anything, they're giving Mets fans belief and hope because the other guys, thanks for the call, the other guys were so bad that they went into the system probably a little bit earlier than they wanted to give them a chance to win a championship. I would say it's the exact opposite of what he just said.
John, you're clueless on this one. The Mets have had rookies make eight starts in the last, whenever McClain got called up, end of August, that is, or mid-August. Eight starts. All eight have been, I don't know about quality by the definition.
I think they have been,
The worst one was Tong on Saturday, who went six innings
and
in
battled.
The last four
runs. So that is a quality start, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. So quality. Eight for eight! So what do you think? They're tanking the season, just saying, hey, dangling the future? No, they're trying to survive. If not for these young pitchers, the Mets would be dead in the water right now.
They would be.
They know it. They're aware of the issues here. They also know they're up against it and that this might not be sustainable. Like, at some point, McClain, Tong, Sproat, like, even the best guys. We saw Max Fried have a rough patch. Like, even the best guys are going to hit a rough patch here. McClain hasn't happened through five starts. Tong been okay through two. Mm-hmm. And Sproat has been one star. Like, they can't continue at this pace, I wouldn't think. And but so far they have, and it's helped the Mets maintain a playoff spot.
And the bottom line is this. You know, the guys who make the big money, and we know who they are, on both of these teams in New York, they better start hitting. They better start hitting again. I mean, the Mets' bats are just way too quiet.
Well, that's why it's just inconsistent. I'm okay with the bullpen for the Mets, and it's going to get better in the playoffs because you don't need six. The Mets have six starters. Like, they can't come up with one good one, but they're going with a six-man rotation. That does not make any sense to me.
And McGill's out. I did see that.
Yeah, well, that's how you know how bad it is that me, who can't stand Tyler McGill, begging for McGill to come back because the guys here aren't cutting it. So they need somebody else. They need another one, but he's not coming back. Point is, in the postseason, assuming that they get there, that gets shortened. So that should also eliminate one of the weaknesses. The offense, though, that's a problem to me because against good pitching, they got overmatched on Sunday. Green with the Reds was blowing them away. And then again, last night, Nola on his game. The Mets get shut down. That can't happen here when they're trying to get a playoff spot. I'm more, like, I know the division is over. I felt that way for a while, but I still hold out hope that the division is more possible than it is that the Mets miss the playoffs. Like, that's where my mindset is at. I'm not even thinking about missing the postseason. Still three games up. Mm-hmm. I think they've got better baseball to play here. 18 games ago, I think they'll figure it out. Where are you at with the Mets in the postseason?
I believe that they'll get in, but I do believe that they're closer to missing it than winning the division.
Okay, now Hoff is the extreme all the way. What is your issue, you as the big Mets fan that you are?
Well, I had a eureka moment yesterday doing a WFAN Daily. I was sitting there breaking down another bad loss. And then I started looking over the schedule, and I go, they're going to lose. They're going to collapse. It's 8-18 for the division, which they're not catching. They have three games left against the Phillies. The Giants are three games behind them, who are hotter than ever. It's just so typical, by the way. Look at this. The Mets made a trade for their top reliever in Tyler Rogers.
Yeah, no,
gave away Jose Buto, Drew Gilbert. And guess who are doing great? For the Giants, of course, the ex-Mets, along with Joey Lucchese and Wilmer Flores, but that's whatever. That is what it is. How about the schedule in front of them? You have the Phillies right now. You're going to play the...
Yeah, Rangers. The Mets.
They play
the Padres. Had the
and,
Padres
guess who they, and guess who they end with? Who always? Yeah. This is reminiscent of 2007.
Marlins.
And 2008. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. You think that the Marlins are going to come in to town? Are we even playing
it's
at
there.
Home?
It's
yeah,
there.
Okay. We're
yeah.
going to Marlins. You think that we're going to take the, all three games? The Mets have to clinch. They're going to clinch 160-162 if they clinch at all.
Put it this way.
They got to do it in Miami.
Put it this way. They're going to have to earn it. Like, I don't think the Mets are going to back their way in with their schedule. But what makes you think
that? But here's the other thing. So you guys just talked about it's not on Mendoza. I don't even want to talk about Stearns right now because we'd go through all the 12 prospects he gave up for four duds for at the trade deadline. Duds. Absolute zeros. But besides that, the fact is, fundamentally, the base pass, they are terrible. The fact that we've had multiple games that we can't figure out how to send a runner home from third. I mean, you
well, that
bring
is
it.
True.
You stole, hold on a second, guys. They've stolen 2,768 billion bases over the past 12 weeks, and we can't send Roddy Mauricio in the ninth inning to second base. We can't even put an attempt down. No. You're telling me he can't steal a base? That's why he's there, is to get the bag to put himself in scoring position. He can't do that.
Do you know why they didn't send him? Because it would have been out by 10 feet.
Well, he's saying, that's why.
He's saying even. So
they've stolen out, huh? From everybody. So, they stole 37,000 bases in a row without getting caught.
So to sum it up.
You can't steal a base.
Sum it up, you don't think the Mets are going to the playoffs?
No! They're done. Jeez. I'm sorry to break the news to guys. It's a eureka moment. It happened. I can't believe it. It sucks.
I have not looked. Did you look at the other team schedules?
I wish you guys were playing the Giants to end the season.
You
oh,
don't
my
have
God.
The Padres three in a row is good enough. I mean, the Mets can catch the Padres here. Padres coming off. Like,
the Mets can do everything, provided they start playing well. I mean, that's the problem.
Look at the other teams.
They can win four in a row, but you got to hit.
Look at the other team. Like, do you think the Dodgers are playing well?
No.
Dude, the Dodgers.
No, they're not. I know they're not.
They had a no hitter.
I know.
They two outs two in the ninth inning.
I know.
Three nothing. They lose to the Orioles.
But the Dodgers have championship DNA. This team doesn't. It's different.
Yeah, and that's the problem is I was excited. Guys, they were about to do something in Mets history they've never done. They were about to go to playoffs. Listen to this. 3 out of 4 years, and I was about to pop champagne for that. Think about 3 in 60-plus years of being a franchise. I was excited that they were going to hit the plateau of 3 out of 4 years making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the playoffs back-to-back. Three times
dude,
in their
career. Dude, they're up three games. They're going to get there. Relax.
No, they're not. I think it's time for people to be to sniff reality. Nothing has changed over the past decade. And I hate to say this because I don't want to say it, but it's reminiscent of Wilpon-esque.
Oh, come on.
It's not financial. Yes, thank you very much. Long time. It's not financially based. It's just stupidity of moves. And I'm sorry, David Stearns, you're the smartest guy in the room. Maybe you should take a notch down and try to be like reality, not like, hey, I have a piece of paper, and these guys should technically do what I need them to do.
Did you guys see the stat? I knew it was bad. I hadn't heard the update in a minute, so I heard it last night when Gary said it on the post-game show with Todd. The New York Mets in 2025, this is unfathomably bad, are 0-60.
Yeah, when trailing after 8.
When trailing going into the ninth inning, the only team in Major League Baseball not to get a win with those circumstances. 0-60!
Yeah, the Orioles were the other team, and they ended up walking off the Dodgers after a no-hitter.
So the Giants' schedule, who would you say would be the biggest threat to you?
Giants.
Think? Okay.
Giants, not worried about the Reds.
Giants' schedule. Two more with the Diamondbacks at home.
A scrappy, tough, yep.
Three with the Dodgers at home.
All right, never know.
Three in Arizona.
Scrappy.
Four against the Dodgers in L.A.
Ooh.
Three against the Cardinals at home, and then they close with the Rockies.
Now, so they get a little gift at the end there.
All right, but
I mean,
still,
they could win 5 out of 6, and that could be the difference.
I mean, but still.
Cardinals, Rockies? I wish you guys had that. That'd be easier.
That is not an easy. I mean, they played the Dodgers 7
times.
No,
but if you could just serve court, I mean, the Cardinals are terrible, and the Rockies are worse.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to finish.
I get it. It's not like every team is going to be a world beater here, but they're also the Giants. Like, they're not that good. So
are the Mets that good?
I do. I think they are, yeah.
Well, then what's going on if they're so good?
Well, what do you mean so good? Who is good? I just asked you the Dodgers, right? Because everybody compares the Dodgers.
Oh, I don't think there's that many good teams. I'm not making a case for that many.
But I'll tell you,
Philly's better.
But that's what we're talking about.
I'll start with that. Philly's better.
And how come the Mets have owned them head-to-head?
I don't know, but why are the Mets 8 back?
Well, if Philly's better than the Mets are, why, when they play head-to-head, the Mets have owned them, and you can go back to last year?
I don't have an answer.
But you just said the Mets aren't that good. Philly's good.
No, I get that, but Philly's going to win 95 games. The Mets are lucky if they win 85. I mean, understand the head-to-head aspect. I'm not trying to dismiss that. I get that. Impressive. Last October, this year. Understood. But the Mets are right back.
Okay.
Eight.
But again, I don't understand the point. What is your point?
What is my point?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You what your point?
The
I don't
point
understand.
Is that the Mets aren't as good as you think they are. That's the point.
Are they in
There's
the
no
playoffs?
No problems with the Mets.
Are they
My
in
bad.
The, are they
I'm
in
sorry.
The, are they in the playoffs right now?
Yes.
So what's the problem?
But the problem is they got a $340 million payroll and they're falling apart.
They're not falling apart.
What?
That's ridiculous. They've actually
they lost 3 or 4 to the Marlins. Yeah, okay. They lost 2 or 3 to the
and
Nats.
What they do before
the Mets
they
aren't
swept,
falling apart.
They swept the. No, they're not falling apart.
The Mets
apart.
Have stunk for 4 months this season.
That's not
true.
That's not true.
It is true.
Right. If they're so
they started well, and since then they've been one of the worst teams in baseball.
Right. You're right.
I am right. It's true.
Right. They suck. Somehow they.
No, no, but Sal, that's a different. I'm not saying that they suck.
BT, they're in the playoffs.
I understand.
You just said, who's good in the National League? Who's good?
The team in front of them is the Phillies.
And they have beaten them head-to-head, including a playoff matchup last year, more.
They're eight back, dude.
That doesn't count then.
I'm not saying it doesn't count, but
okay, but you
Sal,
no, but that's the one team. That's the one team that you said is better. You want to give me Milwaukee? Is Milwaukee better?
I mean, it's close. I know what the record is, so based on the record,
okay.
Brewers are better.
I'll give you that.
So that's two.
I'll give you that.
Dodgers are champions. Yeah. I'll say Dodgers, probably three.
Give me.
I think the Padres might be better. Maybe four.
And I'm not scared of old. I'm not saying
you should be afraid of them, but you got to understand what you're looking at. I mean, come on.
I don't think you're looking at anything.
The Mets don't score any runs.
Then it's a miracle how they're 3 games up on a playoff spot. I don't know how that's possible.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's where it's ridiculous. I mean...
Is it really a miracle? Think about this, Sal. What saved the Mets season this year? We all know the answer. Incredibly appealing young starting pitching.
Okay.
So the fact that they've had a parachute in on the season and save it is problematic.
I don't see it.
Okay.
I mean, the goal is to make the playoffs, is it not?
Yes, it is. Well, no, the goal is to win the World Series.
Okay, well...
That's the goal.
Yeah,
should be the goal.
To do that...
That's my goal.
Yeah, to do that
should be your goal.
To do
I
that,
think it is.
It is. To do that, what has to happen?
We got to make the playoffs. See, I get that, but you're nuts. You don't think I get that, but if you don't think the Mets... have a massive amount of problems. I don't know what to tell you.
I
think Mendy's had a bad year. I think the starting pitching has been a train wreck. I think your top four has been maddeningly inconsistent. I think the bullpen's been a mess. I think you stink on the bases, and I think you don't catch the baseball well enough. Now, the good news
for you... And yet they're still a playoff team. I don't know how they do it.
Today they are.
Yeah.
Today they are.
Right. Okay.
So no fears,
tomorrow
no concerns.
Yes, true.
Tomorrow they will be, even if they lose tonight. Now they'll be 9 out, but then maybe they'll be 2 up.
Like here's the issue that I have.
Right.
I've seen, so have you, plenty of teams where the Mets have, plenty of years where the Mets have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being 3 in a playoff spot, they'd be 3 back of a playoff spot, and we'd be talking about it. Well, can they make it? I don't know. It doesn't look good. Can they? Like, almost everything for them has gone wrong. Manaea's been useless. Senga's been useless. The trade deadline acquisitions outside Tyler Rogers have been useless. The guys are not hitting consistently. Lindor's been inconsistent. Whatever. You pick a Met, they've been inconsistent outside of Juan Soto. And yet, they're still in the playoffs. So, for me, I'm not sounding the alarm or making like everything's
bad. I don't need you to. Listen, I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying, though, I've moved the goalposts for the Mets. And not to be that guy... who's trying to be that guy. But I moved them because you were almost in the World Series last year, and you have a payroll that's number one in baseball. So I don't think it's any grand accomplishment to sit here and say, we're still a playoff team. You should be!
No, nobody said it's a grand accomplishment, but you said the end goal, and I agree, is to win a World Series. Have the Mets been ruled out of winning a World Series?
They have not been, but I do not think that they're good enough to do it.
Well,
and we'll find out.
You
we'll
also
see.
Didn't think they were good enough to get to the NLCS last year.
Nobody did.
Okay, but so then it doesn't mean anything.
No, it does when you show some. Mets played better baseball last year. The Mets played a crisper, more consistent brand of baseball. Now, can they turn it on starting tonight with a 3-run bomb in the first inning? Of course, it's baseball. I'm not saying the Mets aren't going to make the playoffs. What I'm saying is it's getting pretty dicey. And they're not playing well. And they haven't played well for a while. That's not a great combo.
So who is playing well exactly? The Brewers 6-4 in their last 10. The Cubs 5-5.
Oh, the Giants are playing great right now.
They're one team. And they're 7-3 in their last 10. The Giants, the big, bad, almighty Giants, who were sellers at the trade deadline, they're 73-71. You were poking fun of the Mets saying that they're lucky to win 85 games.
I'm not poking fun of them. I'm just pointing out the reality of their season. That's not poking fun.
Right, but then how come the
you make it seem like I'm making things up. Everything I said is spot on.
The reality of their season, you're saying, is that they could win 85 games, whatever it may be. The Giants have 73 wins right now. Are they going to win 85 games?
The Mets have 76!
Okay, right? 3 games more, there's 18 games to go.
Dude, you've seen this grit, and I'm not saying that you're destined to it again this year. I actually hope for Mets fans you're not. But to sit here and say that, you know, with 18 to go, and the way, and forget about the history with the Marlins and upset, forget about that. Just answer me this. Do the Mets look like they look good right now? On any measurement, starting pitching, hitting, catching the ball, do they look like a team? And I know that it could change, but like right now, you feel good about this group?
Here's why.
The answer is yes? You feel good?
Yeah, I do. Here's why.
All right. I mean, you're digging in.
Do the Mets have a closer?
Yes.
One of the best in the game.
Yes, but the problem there is one bud, and I'll let you go. Right. The one bud is you got to have leads to use the closer.
Understood.
Okay.
Do the Mets have a proven playoff commodity at the top of their order?
They got a couple of players who, when they're on, they're terrific.
A couple. Proven in the postseason.
For sure.
Do the Mets have an ace right now?
They do, and I love the kid. But it's early, and I hope he doesn't hit into a wall.
Understood.
Because if these young kids go the wrong way, and I think McClain is, I don't think he's Seaver like Boomer, but I think McClain is filthy and awesome. But if he gets tired, and you know now the other guys, Manaea's a mess. Peterson's stunk for 5 weeks.
You gave me a lot of but ifs.
Sega's in the minors.
You gave me a lot of but ifs. All I was asking is a simple question. Do they have the closer? Yes.
Okay.
Do they have the top of the rotation ace right now?
I gave you yes. I'm not sure
it's
unfair.
Do they have guys at the top of the order that have proven the postseason?
They do.
Those are the reasons why I believe.
Fair enough.
Doesn't mean that that's going to happen.
I hear you.
But those are legit reasons.
They are. But what I would volley, I know we got a break, but what I would volley back, I would say this. I'd say, yes, the three questions, and there's probably one or two other ones to be fair to the Mets that you can ask me that if I'm being fair, which I always am,
right.
I would say yes to. But then I would also say, well, with all those yeses, why the hell do they look this bad?
And what I would say is it's unacceptable that they've been inconsistent. They know it. They've acknowledged it. But look around at everybody else. The big bad Dodgers, 3-7 in their last 10. Coughlin leads away. The Padres, a team that's in front of the Mets by 3 games, 4-6 in their last 10. And they've won 3 in a row.
Philly's won 7 of 10.
Yeah, okay. And the Mets have owned them. The Mets just swept them a week ago. They got 3 more games to play. Like, they lost 1-0 last night. That's all that I'm saying. Look, it could go. Maybe they can miss the playoffs. Or maybe they will. I don't believe that they will. I'm not sounding the alarms just yet. Talking Mets, we'll get into the football along the way here, but we started the show today talking Mets. Greg is in Queens. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good morning, guys. Three quick points. Number one, where would the Mets be without Pete Alonso this year that David Stearns did not want to sign? Number two, the Phillies will sweep the Mets the next 2 games, and you guys are going to have a lot to talk about.
Well, they can't sweep them the next 2 games.
Why not?
It's a 4-game series.
Okay, sweep them the next 4.
Next 3. They already got 1.
Well, I'm just saying, I think the Phillies are going to just wipe them out in this series. And number 3, David Stearns. What has he done for this club since he's been here? He didn't want to sign Alonso. He didn't get involved with Juan Soto. Look at the trade deadline. And I bring up this analogy, and I don't want to talk about the Yankees, but weeks ago everybody's talking about Boone and Cashman, and nobody's talking about David Stearns. What's going on here?
Greg, thanks for the call. I don't think that that's true. We've talked a lot about David Stearns. I only bring the Yankees duo into it because you did, but I think the difference, the level of intensity or scrutiny and dissection is very different for the Yankees because they've been here so long.
Right. I mean, that's the key. It's been the same thing over and over again with Cashman and the Yankees and their flaws. And even with that, they're always in the playoffs, and obviously we're in the World Series a year ago. I would push back and say that, like, how does he know? I forget the caller's name. I apologize.
Greg.
How would Greg know that David Stearns doesn't want Pete Alonso? It's not that Stearns doesn't want Pete Alonso. It's that he didn't want Pete Alonso at the price that Pete Alonso and his agent wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that narrative that Stearns didn't want him, or Soto, Greg said same thing, like David Stearns didn't want Soto. Come on, what general manager alive wouldn't want Soto? If anything, it's that they would recommend maybe not signing a player to 15 years, $765 million. Like, hey, you want to do this, King Cohen? That's on you. I would maybe carry caution against that type of deal. I don't even know that that happened in this particular case with Juan Soto, but Stearns certainly wanted Pete Alonso back just at what he thought was fair market value.
Yeah, and listen, it's impossible to know exactly how he values him, to what extent, but it's a good question. Like, what would the Mets be without Pete? Now, and Pete's going to finish with 130-something RBIs here. I mean, I don't know. The Mets might be mid-70-ish win team. I don't know what they'd be. I think Stearns likes him. I don't think he really likes him. I think and you were there for this, and we talked about this.
Yeah,
the public, amazing day. The fan sentiment shifted when Met fans let Cohen know, we want our guy back. I don't think that Cohen was, that Stearns was racing and rushing to bring him back.
It is a different conversation and a deep one. Maybe we could have it at 11. I want to get back to some of the calls here. But is it Alonso or is it Soto? Because I would make the case that Pete's having such a great year in large part due to Juan Soto.
I would say, I guess I'll go back to that. My initial response very quickly before we get back to the phones would be, if he didn't have 131 RBIs than another in a previous season and bang 53 home runs as a rookie.
Yeah, it was 6 years ago.
I know, but there's some evidence. Pete's done some good things. He went from a .230 hitter with 17 home runs.
I'm not knocking Pete. I'm saying the actual numbers. Like, I think Pete's had a terrific season.
Very good.
But the actual numbers, and also, you know, with the guy getting on base in front of him, I don't think it's a coincidence is all I would say. So you could also ask the question, well, where would they be without Juan Soto, which was also close to being, Juan Soto could have chose the Yankees or anywhere else.
Yeah.
What if they didn't have him? They would have been screwed. Mickey is in Walcott. What's up, Mickey?
Mick.
Hey, guys. Man, this has been a good morning so far with you guys taking these calls. I've been cracking up. A lot of these calls are callers of the Lulu. I'm going to just say that off the bat. But I'm going to go into what I want to talk about, which is, yes, we're having a rough year. Yes, maybe we'll miss the playoffs. Honestly, there's a realistic chance, right?
Mm.
And if you look at the entire year, the players have to go out there and do their job. And for the most part, at least towards the end of the season, the superstars have done their jobs. But at the end of the day, this all falls on Stearns. It falls on the team you built, the team that you didn't build, the people you didn't call up when you should have called them up. Why it took you so long to call up the youngsters? Why did it's just everything revolving around his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It almost reminds me of when a person hits the lotto, and, they never had big money like that before and they just don't know what to do with it. That's almost what it feels like with him. It's like you have the number one owner in baseball. You can do what you have to do to win. Because I'm sorry, getting to the playoffs is not it this year.
Mick, can I just address?
Hold on one second.
Yep, one sec, Mick. So the first thing that you said about why did it take so long for him to pull up some of the young arms? Well, listen, this is not just a Met thing or a Cohen thing, and thanks for the call. Sal, I would think that you would agree with this. When you invest multiple years of, I'm not going to say that Manaea was massive money, I think $16 or $17 million a year for the 2 years here, or Senga 5 years for 75, manageable if he's good. But you're going to run those guys out there until there's just evidence to the contrary before you look for a different solution.
What I would also counter is saying, since he's called them up, and he didn't have to call all three up.
No.
I mean, it did get to a point where they kind of did actually have to, but they still could have held strong and said, no, we're only going to bring two of them, whatever it may be. Ended up getting three of them here. 8 for 8 as far as good starts go from the 8 rookies, and the Mets still aren't like on some kind of run here where, oh my God, they're lighting it up and winning these games. So it's not even, it's not just that. That's not the primary reason. It was for a little bit of a stretch there where, God, the starting pitching can't get out of their own way. But then it was the bullpen for a little bit. Then it's the bats. It's been a little bit of everything. So even though he did address that when he absolutely had to and gave Manaea and Senga every opportunity, that still hasn't fixed all the problems. They haven't been able to score as of late, which has been an issue. It's been a little bit of everything. We could dive deeper into that Soto Alonso conversation. Also, you can tie into the Yankees to it too, because something I was thinking of last night watching the game as well. We'll get to the football stuff as well. 8:80, we have Brian Baldinger coming on today. What time is that? 12:40? Yeah, Baldy will join us at 12:40.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.